end of the study that we've been taking for these different weeks. And I was looking, we've had some interruption in our Sunday night services with some different things. We started back in the book of Malachi on May the 6th. And so it's been a while since we started the first chapter and been dividing, trying to preach through this book. And I just wanted to maybe go over the titles and refresh your memory and of these that we have done thus far. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we had the title called The Forgotten Love, and how that many times the children of God forget the love that has brought them to the cross of Calvary, the love of the Lord Jesus, and many times we forget that love. And then in chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, we find that when we forget the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we get tired of serving. So the second message that we had was entitled Tired of Serving. Then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, we find that God speaks to the nation of Israel, and he's telling them that certain things happen when leaders go bad, and how we need folks tonight that are in leadership to be right with the Lord in churches, in families, homes, wherever it might be. We must have leadership that is right with God and has fellowship with the Lord. And so in verses 1 through 9 of Malachi chapter 2, we find the results of what happens when leadership goes bad, the corruption of the priesthood that comes about to people when they'll not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We entitled the whole series, God's Message to a Corrupt Nation. And certainly when leaders go bad, it's because of corruptness and even brings on more corruption to people. Then in Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, we had what we call soap opera morality, how that morals of this world have gone so far away from the Lord, has gone away from God, and we compared it to some of the things that we see today. Then the fifth message, Malachi chapter 2, verse 17 through chapter 3, verse 6, we found the coming Lord. Thank God Jesus is coming again. That's found there in those verses of Malachi. Then we have the message in chapter 3, verses 7 through 15, entitled Thieves in the House of God, how that we find many times folks rob the Lord and they will not give to God. God gives us a pattern. God gives us a plan that we're to give our tithes unto the Lord. Now, there's nowhere in the Word of God that God tells us to give them anywhere else except the storehouse. The Old Testament storehouse was the temple, the tabernacle. The New Testament storehouse is the church of the Lord. And we are under commission, under command of God to give that. And God says if we don't do that, then we are robbing Him and the thieves in the Lord's house. And then the last message that we brought a couple weeks back was God's precious treasure. How that when the Lord comes, He's going to make up His crown. His jewels will be the treasure of the Lord. And I'm glad tonight that we are that. I'm glad we have that hope of knowing that the Lord cares about us, that the Lord's concerned about us. This world may not be too concerned. This world doesn't have much hope or much glory about the things of God, but I'm glad God is mindful of me. I'm glad the Lord's mindful of you tonight, we that are saved, and then if you're here tonight lost, I'm glad He's also mindful of you, and He'll hear your cry if you'll come unto Him. Now tonight in chapter 4 of Malachi, we bring the last message in this series, and I've enjoyed doing these. I hope you've enjoyed them. Hope you've gotten some things that can help you in your life. And here, this last message, really, of the Old Testament. It's the last message of Malachi, making it the last message of the Old Testament. Well, I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject of sunset and then sunrise. Thank God there's a sunrise coming for the people of God. And I want us to read tonight. We'll just read these verses. There's only just six verses in this last chapter. And we'll read them, and then we'll come back and note here the sunset and the sunrise. Chapter 4, Malachi, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers of the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now here we have in this passage, we find that these verses that we've read, this passage denies the teaching of those folks that call themselves universalists. There are a lot of people tonight that they say, well, God's such a loving God that he'd not send anyone to hell, and that no one, there goes my pointer, that no one would go to hell. God's so loving and so kind and so good to his creation that everybody in the end will be saved. And that's called universalist or universal salvation. And that's foreign to the Word of God. The Bible tells us that a person, the only way they can go to heaven, the only way they can have the right to go to heaven is through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the end, not everyone is going to heaven. I'm afraid there's a lot of folks that think they're going, they're not going to go. A lot of folks that we maybe probably think they're not going, we'll probably be surprised to see them there because we look on the outward appearance. We don't know the heart, and it's a very dangerous thing. It's a very troubling thing to hear people accuse other folks that are in the work of God as being lost and not knowing God, and we look only on that which we see. But the Bible tells us that God looks on the heart. God looks on the inside, and God knows you tonight. God knows you. God knows you. God knows my heart. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says, God knows the truth about each of us, whether we be right with him or whether we not be right. God knows whether we're saved or whether we're lost. And as a saved person, God knows whether or not we're in fellowship with him. God knows whether or not we're in the right relationship, fellowshipping with him or not. And no one else knows that except him. So this passage denies the teaching of universalism that says ultimately everyone will be saved because God's such a loving God and a caring God that he'd not send anyone to hell. No, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell. We appoint ourselves that place to go that was appointed for Satan, the devil, and his angels. This passage also denies the teaching of liberalism that denies the reality of the miracles of the Lord, that denies the reality of hell itself. It does away with that teaching of liberalism. And we have liberals all across this country that are trying to destroy the effectiveness of the Word of God to the people of God. We have folks that they'll speak the same language and they'll say the same things, but they mean entirely different things when they talk about those scriptural things that we think and we know those that are truth. And so these verses of Scripture tonight deny the teaching of liberalism. Also denies the teaching of humanism. Humanism is the teaching that believes or that teaches the perfectibility of man, that man one day will become God, that man one day will, everything will work out so good and so well that man in the end time, in the end result of everything, well, that man will be on the highest plane that is possible. That's just another form of evolution. And these verses of Scripture teach against that. We know that man will not become God, but we know that we can have God living in our heart. Then it denies the teaching or the belief of atheism that just simply says there is no God because the Bible says, behold, the day cometh, and then it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And so tonight I want us to look upon these things that are in these verses of Scripture, and I hope be a help to us and give us strength in our daily walk. The Bible reveals, we that have studied the Scripture, we know that the Scripture reveals to us that God works in different periods of time in different ways. We usually divide the periods of time or the history of man up into seven different what we call dispensations. And that word dispensation just means time period. It just means a time slot, how God works with people. But he's always done that through grace. He's always done that with his love of mankind. But I want us to think tonight we can just take those seven and we can break them up into three different times. That time before the Lord, we find is a day of guilt, that men are found guilty before God. Then when Jesus came, thank God we have the grace of the Lord shown open to mankind, that God gave his Son, and the Son of God gave his life that we can have life through him. And there we see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in these last days for us. And then the future time that the Bible calls the day of the Lord. Now that's primarily what we're going to be thinking about tonight, the day of the Lord. That period of time that God talks about and gives us in his word. It says, for behold, the day cometh. Here in verse number 1 of chapter 4, the day cometh. We come to this final message, Malachi we should have a solemn view of what's going to take place upon this world. You see, everything has not continued as it always has been, and everything's not going to continue on as it is tonight. There's going to be some changes made. Thank God for that. I'm glad there's a day approaching. There's a day ahead of us that's going to be different than it is today. And we come to the final message of Malachi. The final message of the Old Testament, we find that Malachi speaks of the day of the Lord. The day cometh. And I'm glad that day is coming. The word behold means that we ought to watch out. We ought to stand still. We ought to meditate upon that. And he says, behold, the day cometh. The last chapter here gives us two possible destinies. We find the grief of man, and then we find the glory of man. The grief is what I call the sunset of man, and then the glory is the sunrise. That is where we come to with the message or the title of the message tonight of sunset, sunrise. You realize the day of the Lord is going to bring about a time of grief upon a lot of people. There's a lot of folks that's going to, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when that day of wrath falls upon this earth, there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to be grieving and sorrowful because of the life that they've lived, and that's going to be the sunset of this world. But thank God, where's a sunset one place, there's a sunrise somewhere else. You realize tonight as the sun goes down and we go into the darkness of the hour, the darkness of the night, there's a sunrise on the other side of the world. Somewhere the light is just about to break through. When we're getting in the dusky hours of the night and the shadows begin to creep upon this world in which we live, we can just be thankful that on the other side of the world, the sun is just coming up. And I'm glad tonight when God brings forth the wrath upon this world and grief and sunset upon the lives of those that are unregenerate, those that are lost, thank God the sunrise is for us, that all of the glory of God shall be manifest and made known unto the people of the Lord. And so tonight I want us to think about this day of grief, which is the sunset here in verse number 1, and then the remainder of the chapter, the sunrise, which is the day of glory for the child of God. Now the day of the Lord will be the time of the beginning of the eternal grief of the doom of the lost person. That day of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord, it's a period of time that God begins to bring about judgment upon this earth. It's an eternal time of grief that men and women, boys and girls, will be cast into because of the rejection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 1 gives us three truths concerning this day. Now, let's read verse number 1 again. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn even as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Now, first of all, I want us to think about this day as a future day. Now, the day of the Lord has not come about as of yet. We're not living in what's classified in the Word of God as the day of the Lord. Now, we have periods of time, but the day of the Lord is coming, I believe, very soon upon this world. And it's a future day. And there's been many dark days. If you'll take the Word of God, if you'll take the message, this book that God has given to us and preserved to us, you'll find that there's been many, many dark days upon this old world that God created. I find in Genesis that God says it even repented Him that He'd made man, because the very thoughts of that man's heart was only evil continually. And there's a dark day when Noah had to go into the ark, he and his sons, and those that went in. There is a dark time when God had to bring judgment upon a world that had rejected Him and rejected the Word of God, the message and the messenger. And the Bible says, as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And just as Noah's day was a wicked day, our day is a wicked day. And it's a dark time on that. They heard the message. They heard Noah preach. They heard God speak through Noah. But yet they rejected. They laughed. They mocked. They made fun. They scorned. There, silly Noah was out there in the middle of the desert building a boat, and they didn't know why he's doing that. But God, through Noah, began to preach unto them the righteous judgment of the Lord. But they rejected that, and those folks that went into the ark, those 8, that is all that we find in the Word of God that came through that period of time that were right with God and were righteous with the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us there's a dark time. You read on a little farther in the book of Genesis, you'll find another dark time upon the people of that area. And as the day God had to send down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of its sin. You see, God always judges sin. God has never let sin go unnoticed and unjudged, and He'll not do that tonight. But it's a dark time when God sent forth fire and brimstone upon those two cities that were full of wickedness and vileness and sinfulness. And we have those sins listed. And God brought about a judgment upon that world because of the dark time that they lived in. And folks, we're living in that same time. I have here an article someone gave me last week. And it says, a reform organization okays homosexual rabbis. Here we find that in Seattle, the Organization of Reformed Rabbis broke the 4,000-year Jewish tradition Monday and endorsed homosexual rabbis as qualified leaders of congregations in the United States and Canada. Folks, we find that that sin of sodomy and sexual perversion that was prevalent in the day that was in the day, I believe, also of Noah's day, and also it carried on over to the time later. We find Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of sinfulness and wickedness. It is a dark time upon the world, and God says it'll be a dark time once again when He judges this world for sin. We find that Babylon one night, they was having a party, and we find that they was having a big shenanigan, and all of a sudden there's a man's hand that came over and wrote over the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." That's a dark night for Babylon. That's their last night. God said, "You're divided, and you're going to go down to defeat." And that very night, the Medes and the Persians came in, and they destroyed Babylon and destroyed that leader. But all this had a good time that night, but the darkness came and the judgment of God fell upon them. Then we find Rome overthrows Israel about A.D. 70. That's a dark time. You read the history of that, you'll find that there's literally thousands of people that were left in the streets dead and nowhere to bury them. Nero came in and destroyed Jerusalem just like God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said He would do. And He said there wouldn't be one stone left unturned. And you find there's a dark time in the nation Israel's history. There's a darker time coming. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the time that God's going to destroy this world. We find in this modern age in which we live, we find the wars that America has been in. We found World War I, World War II, all the other wars that has been fought. That's been dark times to see young men go off and not return home. There's troublesome times in this world, but it's nothing like what's going to be. The day that shall come, according to Malachi. For behold, the day cometh. We find that there's pestilence and there's earthquakes. And there's problems in this world tonight. We could get up in the morning and find catastrophe after catastrophe that's happened while we sleep. And there's problems everywhere and there's darkness everywhere. Physical darkness, but far more spiritual darkness than anything else. And we find that people are rejecting the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a dark day when all these things come, but there's a darker day coming yet upon this world. There's a darker time. The Bible says that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord is going to come upon this world while they're reveling and howling, how they're having their good times, while they're drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and doing all the things that the world does. The Lord is going to come. The day of the Lord is going to come upon them as a thief in the night, and they're not even going to realize it. The darkness is going to be. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the day, the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Thank God there's the sunrise that we're going to be talking about in just a few moments. But the sunset is coming. The day of the Lord is coming upon this world, and there's going to be a judgment given to all mankind that have denied and hated the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two times here in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 1. You'll notice two times that He says, "The day cometh." Now notice there, it says, "Behold, the day cometh." And then on down in the latter part of that verse, it says, "And the day that cometh shall burn them up." Now that's a future day. That's yet in the future. And it's a prospective day. We can say without any doubt whatsoever that the day cometh. Behold, the day cometh. We better meditate on that. We better think about that, because this whole world that we're living in, one day she's going to blow. One day it's going to not be like we know it. One day, thank God, we're going to be raptured out of here, and the day of the Lord is going to be upon this world. Now, I have here the chart. You've looked at it and seen those. I've passed these out to you. And I want us to look just a little bit about what's going to happen in the book of Revelation that reveals to us what's going to happen upon this world. The day of the Lord. It's a terrible time. It's called the tribulation. It's called the period of Jacob's trouble. It's not just one particular day, but it's a period of time that's going to last. Now, if you look at your chart, if you want to look up here, you'll find that the very main part of the chart is this area right through here that gives you the seven seals, the seven churches, the vision, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven dooms, and the seven new things. That's the main part of the chart that divides the book of the Revelation. But you'll find in where it says the seven seal book is open, right here, this book that is open, you begin to see some of the things that are going to happen up on this world. Now, in this part, we have the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, and the seven churches of Asia. And we've studied those before, and we know that they are representative of literal churches that are, I believe, many of them are in existence today that are represented by these. But not only that, but these were seven literal churches. All the way we can see that God said, write a letter to this church, write a letter to that church. And then you get to Laodicea, which that church was the lukewarm church. And folks, that's where we are tonight. That's exactly where we are, that they're neither hot nor cold, they're just lukewarm. And the Lord says, I'll spew you out of my mouth because you're just lukewarm. He said, I want you either hot or cold, in or out, on or off, get where you ought to be, and do that. But don't be lukewarm. And then in Revelation chapter number 4, you find that the Lord says, John says there's a door opened in heaven, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And thank God when that happens, there is the rapture. Thank God there's where we go out of this world. I'm looking forward to that time that we're going to disappear from this world. Wonder tonight if we was to be here and the folks in this building, maybe someone lost, I guarantee you every saved, born again, child of God, when he says, come up hither, we're going to hear that and we're going to get out of here. Amen. We're going to be gone and you'll be left behind. The Bible says you'll be a strong delusion and you'll believe a lie. You believe that lie that's going to come upon this world. But the day of the Lord that's going to come, I want to read some things in the book of the Revelation. We find in these chapters, we find that we have the seven trumpets. We find the seven churches. And then the Revelation, the seven seal book comes. And as that book is opened, and then it comes into the trumpets, and we have then the trumpets comes the seven vials or the bowls of wrath. They're pictured here as pitchers. The word vial just means a bowl that relates to us as God pouring out his judgment upon this world. But we first have the seven seal book that's open. And as each seal is open, you find there's some things going to happen as that takes place. Now you find in chapter 6, verse number 1, you find the first seal is open, and there we have the conquering power. It says in verse number 1, the Lamb opened there of the seal, and I heard the noise of thunder, four beasts saying, come and see, and I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, folks, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That one riding on that white horse is not the Lord. There's a white horse coming a little bit later that he's going to be on it. Thank God there's two horsemen in the book of Revelation. One of them's the false Christ, one of them's the real Christ, and Jesus is going to come later on. We'll see that in a little while. But we find that when the white horse rider he comes to conquer, he's given a crown. So therefore we know he's not the Lord because the Lord owns his own crown. It's his, and no one can give it to him. We find in these next verses, the second seal, peace is going to be taken from the earth. It says in verse 4, went out another the horse that was red, power was given to him, set thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another, and there's given unto him a great sword. Now, folks, don't get worried. This we're not going to be in this. Hallelujah to God. We're not going to be here. We're going to be in heaven as a spectator, seeing all the things that's coming upon this old world. You find the third seal, broken famine comes. The fourth seal is death. And on, the remnant is given through there. The physical changes that come upon this earth, we find then there's a silence there, and then the silence is broken. All those things taking place upon this world. And so these seals that are broken, every one of them give us a different view of the judgment of God, the day of the Lord. Behold, the day cometh. We're not going to put it off. It's going to come just at the right time. Doesn't matter what our president does, the day of the Lord is going to come just when it's ready to happen. Doesn't matter what the European leaders do, and boy, I tell you what, you better look at Europe tonight. I tell you, they're forming themselves. And I've studied this, and I've heard preachers talk about how that one day Europe would be the great force of this world. And I thought, how in the world could they be that? Well, in just a few years, we've seen that come to pass. You know who we worry about tonight? We don't worry about Israel. We don't worry about Russia. But they sure are concerned about this new European common market that's coming about. And they're supposed to be a united Europe in 1992. By December the 31st, 1992, it's supposed to be just one country, one nation. And boy, I tell you what, you look at the outline of that, and it's nothing more than the old revitalized Roman Empire. Just exactly what God said it would be. And we're seeing that come about and come to pass right before our very eyes. Well, I'm glad I live the day I live. We're seeing those things. But when we go up to be with the Lord in the rapture, then the day of the Lord, the judgment of God begins to fall, and the seals are open on the book that only Jesus could open, and these things come to pass. Then if you'll read on a little bit farther, you'll find that the seals, after they're completed, then you have the seven trumpets. Oh, there's where trouble begins. And out of that seventh trumpet comes much, much turmoil and trouble. Hear the day of the Lord. Behold, the day cometh. The day of the Lord. You find in Revelation chapter number 8, the seventh seal is opened and taken there in verse number 1. And then in verse number 7, we find the first of the trumpets. Now, I have this up here just to show you what's going to take place. Here we have the book that is sealed. Each one of these seals are broken. Now the trumpets begin to blow. This, we find, is a part of the judgment of God. Notice in verse number 7 of Revelation chapter number 8. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, folks, I believe the Word of God literally is true. Amen. And I believe that's going to take place just exactly the way God said it would here. The trump of judgment is going to be upon this world, and when that happens, just notice here what takes place. It says here the green grass is going to be burnt. It says the hail is going to fall, fire mingled with blood, and the cast upon the earth, the third part of the trees burn up. Here we find under this first trumpet, fire, hail, blood, death comes. Then the second trumpet begins to blow in verse number 8. The second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea become blood. Well, that sounds pretty dangerous to me. Sounds like a troublesome time, and I believe that's exactly what will happen. You find that a third part of the creatures are in the sea, and all that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. That's the second trumpet. The third trumpet, the angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were of a lamp. It fell upon the third part of the rivers and the fountains of water, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, or that just simply means bitter, and many died of the waters because they were bitter, and they became poison. What's going to happen? God's going to send judgment in His day, the day of the Lord. He's trying to get the attention of the unregenerate man, the unregenerate society, that God is in control, and He desires that they come to Him. You'll find the more that God sends judgment upon God, upon His people, upon the people of this world, the more they'll curse God. The more that they desire, He desires, and more He does, the more judgment comes, the farther they get away from God. And that's what happens even many, many times in our own lives as people. You find the fourth trumpet in verse number 11. It says, the angel sounded, a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, a third part of the stars, a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels which are yet to sound. He says here that the worst is yet to come. All of these things that have happened, the angel of God goes and he declares across the world three woes upon mankind. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day that no one is going to put off. Now, you may take care of an appointment that you have. You may put that off, but this world's not going to put this appointment off. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And just as man will face the judgment of God, man's society, man's world that we've created and we've made our own bed and we're going to do what we want to do, God says, all right, there's a day coming you're going to face the judgment of the Lord. Amen. It's the day of the Lord that shall come and will come. And so you find the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, the sixth trumpet, which is the second woe, the seventh trumpet, which is the third woe, each one of them progressively getting worse upon mankind. We don't have time to read all these verses and see what happens in that. But we find that God continually, progressively smites the sun. There's the plague of locusts. There's the plague of horsemen. There's the plague that comes out of the seventh trumpet, the third woe, and all of everything else comes out of that third woe. And then you get to the seven vials. This is the day of the Lord. I used to think and hear people talk about the day of the Lord. I said, boy, that'd be a pretty good time, the day of the Lord. But we have a wrong conception. This is the Lord's day. But thank God this is not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night when the world is not expecting it. When the world doesn't even think about God. And folks, I believe he could come tonight as a thief. Amen. I believe Jesus could split the eastern sky tonight and we'd be snatched out. His rise is not going to be very long, just a little while, and he's going to go out and he'll be out of existence. Then you have what's called the Satanic Trinity. You have the beast, which is the Antichrist, the dragon, which is Satan. You have the false prophet, which is anti-spirit. All these things in opposition to God's work and to God's man and to God's message. All of this taking place upon this world. And the Bible says men's hearts shall fail them because of what? Fear. They're going to see the things coming upon them. They're going to fear. They're fearful, but yet they'll not go to the one that'll take care of their fear. I'm glad I've already taken care of that, aren't you, tonight? I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. He died for me. I've accepted him, and this old world can't touch me. Satan doesn't have any hold on us at all. Amen. As a child of God. But the day of the Lord, this is the period of grief. This is the sunset of history. This is the end of it. People today, they talk about the end of the world coming. Oh, they don't have any idea what's going to be like at the end of the world. They don't have any idea. We have people marching, having set-ins. They're worried about the ecology, and they're worried about little old turtles dying and birds and all that stuff. They're worried about what the nuclear holocaust is going to be. And all those. God's going to take care of all that. We're not going to have to worry about that. God's not going. I don't believe this world's going to be destroyed by nuclear bombs. God's going to do it himself. Amen. I don't care what Southwest Radio says. They talk about the missiles and all those things, but the Bible says that God's going to do it. Amen. God's going to let this world know that he's the one that's bringing judgment upon them. They that snubbed their nose at him and cursed him and denied him, they're going to know before God gets done with them that he's God in heaven. Amen. The day of the Lord. Then we find the seven seals, the trumpets, the woes are given. And out of that third woe, or that seventh seal, we have come what is called the seven vials. The seven vials of wrath that God pours. And I want you to, in chapter 16 of Revelation, and we're still talking about Malachi, but we've gone to Revelation to explain what the day is. Isn't it strange how you can get so much out of one little verse? That day is coming. That day is approaching. And Revelation tells us what kind of day it's going to be. Revelation chapter 16 says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. Now we have them pictured here as pitchers pouring out water. Vials, bowls of wrath. Now, first of all, in verse number 2, the first went, poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Now you notice who the day of the Lord's against. It's those that worship the beast. Grievous, noisome sores fall upon them. Boils, you would say. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen. Sure do.
You say, boy, it's been bad up to this point. Well, the worst is yet to come. Because out of that third woe comes the seven vials of wrath. And God says every living soul, and that word soul there doesn't mean people. I'm talking about the creatures of the sea. Everything in the sea is going to die. That shall become as blood. Not just simply blood, but the blood of a dead man. Stinking. Sores on men. Men dying. Many of them because of what they see and fear. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Thank God I'm saved. It says, in the blood of dead men, every living soul in the sea died. Verse number 4, Revelation chapter 16. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became what? Blood. Now you have the sea, it's already blood. Now you have the next angel come, and he pours out his vial upon the rivers, the running water, and then the fountains. Everything that has to do with freshness of water is destroyed. Why, they say the next war in the Middle East will not be over oil, it'll be over water. It'll not be over the commodity of oil that can run an engine, but it'll be over the commodity of water that keeps us alive. And our own nation is suffering tonight of many, many places of water shortages. It's very serious in some places, but there's a day coming upon this world that there won't be any. The wrath of God. What's God doing? He's trying to get their attention. God's showing them who's in control. God's showing them that this is His world. He'll do with it as He pleases. Oh, they can make their skyscrapers. They can go to the moon. They can go to the far reaches of this galaxies and these worlds that are before us and out there that God created. But they can't stop the judgment of God. They can almost put you on artificial life and make you live without being alive. But they can't stop the wrath of God. So we find here that fourth angel pours out, or the third angel pours out there upon the rivers and the fountains of the water. And it says in verse 5, heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, was, and shall be, because Thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and of prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. That crowd that denies God, that crowd that hates us, that crowd that during the tribulation time is going to destroy and kill and tear and mingle and maim those that will not bow down to the beast. They've wanted blood. God's going to give them blood. They've desired that. God's going to give them what they've wanted. Then you find in verse number 8, says the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repent not to give him glory. Well, that's the strangest statement in the Word of God. Looks to me like people would bow down and say, God, Thou art holy. You think it's hot outside now? We haven't been scorched. We might think we are, but we haven't been scorched. Just some of these folks that lay out and look like they've been scorched, but these here, the Bible says that men's going to be scorched. Boy, shouldn't have said that, maybe. But we find here that God's going to send an angel, and he's going to the sun, and he's going to make the heat so intense that you go outside, you get scorched by the heat. We hear much today about the ozone layer. I don't know, God may be getting it ready that she'll be gone away with and done away with and take care of it. I don't know, but I do believe what God says. I don't know how God's going to do all of it, but I know he has power to do that. And here the Bible says that they blasphemed God, the name of God that had the power, and they repented not to give him glory. The fifth vial in verse 10, poured his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Have you ever heard people curse God because it didn't rain? And then it rains, they curse God because it rains. They curse God because they get what they want, and they curse God because they don't get what they don't want. That's exactly the way it'll be when God brings his judgment. The sixth vial, verse 12. The angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the king of the east might be prepared. There's a very important statement. The kings of the east are going to come later on and going to come after the little old nation of Israel. Thank God they're not going to destroy her. Israel's gone through a lot of troubles, a lot of tribulations, and here we find that they're making things ready. And I read the other day that they have there on the Euphrates River, there's a dam that's being built, or it is built, that literally when the gates are shut, they can dry up the river. And they want to do that because of taking care of the crops that are being planted in that area, which is so fertile. But they want to keep the river from flooding. They want to keep it under control. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God says he's going to dry up the river. Amen. Folks, the day of the Lord's at hand. The day of the Lord's coming. We can see these things. I believe God could use some of these things that men have devised supposedly for their good. God could turn that on them. I don't know, but I know what God says will happen. and it'll happen just exactly. Then you have the seventh vial. It says in verse 17, of Revelation chapter 16, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." With the voices of thundering and lightning and great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And so here we find that Babylon the Great is fallen. Here we have the judgment of God, the day of the Lord. It's a period of time that God's going to bring about. His seven sealed books will be open, and as each seal is open, something dramatic happens on the face of God's earth. Then after the seals are finished, the trumps of God are going to sound, and something dramatic happens. And when that seventh trumpet blows, and the third woe comes, out of that comes all of these vials of wrath that we've just read. You know what that is? All that's just the day of the Lord. Amen. The day that Malachi speaks of, that we read tonight. All we find, the Word of God so real and so true. That's why we need to be so very busy in getting our loved ones and our friends in the fold of God. Because the day is upon us. The day of the Lord is at hand, and He's going to come as a thief in the night. That's a future day. Not only that, but it's a fearful day. We don't have to tell you. I've read you that. It's a time of fear. It's a time of trouble. Malachi uses two illustrations here. Both of them are fire. Fire that destroys in this terrible day. He talks about a burning oven. Now, a burning oven is a controlled heat. God has control. You don't have to worry about that. God does as He pleases. And then the Bible says they're going to fall. And the wicked, they're proud, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And they shall leave neither root nor branch. It's a fearful day. We could go and read the Old Testament. I'll not take time to do that. If we did, we'd be here too long. But you can find in the book of Isaiah chapter 10 and chapter 30. You can find in Jeremiah chapter 21. You can find the book of Joel chapter 2. Find the book of Zephaniah chapter 1. All of these things talking about the day of the Lord that's coming upon this world, a day of judgment. And Malachi says, "Behold, the day cometh." Just better take note. We that are saved, we better realize, we better know that Jesus is coming again. There's the sunset of this world. There's the judgment of God. There's the grief that's going to come. It's a fearful day. And it's a final day. He says here He's going to not leave them neither root nor branch. Now that word root there, that just simply means your history, your heritage, going to be done away with. All those things of the past, it's over with. The root is that which is back there in days gone by. It's going to be taken care of. The branch is that what's in the future. And people tonight without God have no future whatsoever. They have no hope without God. And really, they have no history because they'll be forgotten one day. And so we find that it's a final day. A man by the name of Dante wrote a book called Inferno. And he describes hell. And he puts in his book the description as a person goes into hell. Right above the door of hell, he writes these words, "Abandon all hope, all you who enter in." And how true that is. When a person dies and goes to hell, all hope is abandoned. It doesn't matter what Romanism says. It doesn't matter what other people say. When a person dies and goes to hell, it's an eternal death. Amen. The day of the Lord that's coming. And so we find it's a future day, it's a fearful day, and it's a final day. But then in verses 2 on through, and we'll not take much time on this, we find not just the day of grief, as is in verse 1, which is the sunset of this world. But thank God there's a day of glory, which is the sunrise for you and I. We that are saved, we that are born again. Tonight, if we've been saved, I mean, we know without a shadow of a doubt that if this old pump in our body quit pumping tonight, we'd go to heaven. I listened this morning as Brother Leonard told about how that he wasn't fearful of dying. Only a child of God can say that. Not fearful of dying. Nobody wants to die, but thank God we don't have to fear death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so we have, there's a day of glory for the child of God. All these things are going on. Thank God I'm up there. the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm up there. The glorified church with the Lord, I'm up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're there because we're saved, because of the blood of the Lord. It's a day of glory. Malachi closes his books with hope. Through the coming, though the coming of the Lord is the sunset for many, thank God it's the sunrise for the child of God. It's the marks, and it gives us the world, those of us who have been saved, what Jesus has done. It's the day, the person of the day is the Son of Righteousness. Notice there in verse number 2. But unto you that fear my name. Oh, thank God. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. I like that description of the Lord. He's the Son of Righteousness, the Lord of glory. He's the Son, S-U-N, He's the Son, S-O-N, and both are of righteousness. The sun of this old world is going to be darkened one day. We've read that. It's going to be darkened, and then it's going to scorch. But the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, He's going to shine brighter than ever has been. I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ shines and rules and reigns in my heart more tonight than He did years gone by. And if we make that same progress in our personal life as we ought to, He'll reign more next year than He did this year. And 10 years down the road, if the Lord doesn't come, He'll reign more then than He does tonight. Doesn't matter how spiritual we think we are. There ought to be much progress in our life. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's the Lord of glory. The only place in the Bible that descriptive term is used of the Lord Jesus Christ, right there. That's the only place. Those that fearing the day of the Lord, thank God, we that are saved, we don't have to fear His name, fear Him, but we look to Him in reverential fear because He's the Son of Righteousness, and He says, shall arise with healing in His wings. Thank God, on the sunrise morning, on that day of the Lord, on that day when we go to be with God, there's healing in His wings. No more sickness. No more pains of the body. How many of you had pain today somewhere in your body? Probably everybody, somewhere. It could get worse. There's many, many folks tonight that are living in just agonizing pain. Thank God when the Son of Righteousness appears, He's going to come with healing in His wings. He's going to come and we'll have rejoicing. Only time that we see this, is that term is right here. Throughout the Bible, the word Son is used to refer to the Lord. I want to read just two or three verses of Scripture and then we're going to close. In the book of Psalms, if you would turn with me there, and then we'll turn to the book of Isaiah. In Psalm number 84, verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. What a blessing, what a promise of God. The sun. The Lord God is the sun, and He's the shield. He's the one that gives light. He's the one that protects from the heat. He's the Lord. The Bible says here that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Then in Isaiah chapter number 60, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter number 60, verse number 1 through 3. Arise. Shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, thank God, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Thank the Lord tonight. The Gentiles, even in the Old Testament, those Gentile dogs, God said they're going to come to the light. And folks, tonight, we that are saved, we've been given the glorious opportunity to come to the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And He puts within us the light that He has, and we're reflective of that light. We're not to put our light underneath the bushel. We're to put it on a hillside, on a hilltop, that people might see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse number 19 of that same chapter of Isaiah, it says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Notice every one of these verses tonight. These verses we just read talks about the glory and the sun. Now we find verse number 20. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Folks, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Comes as a thief in the night. Some golden daybreak. I thought of that song this morning. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Sad hearts will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment like Him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tear nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Oh, there's a sunrise, folks, for the child of God. There's a day of glory. There's a day of blessing. There's the sunrise for those that have been born again. But oh, what a terrible day of tragedy and grief for those that have never come to know Christ. If never known, the day cometh. Behold, that day approaches. And some golden daybreak will be with the Lord. But that's not the end of it. All that we've seen tonight, just very quickly, these things of the book of Revelation that is revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ and His work and the work among mankind, the day cometh as a thief in the night. Tonight I ask you a question that's very, very important. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Behold, the day cometh. We're going to meet Him. Child of God, tonight, are you ready to meet God? You say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm ready. I'm not talking about are you ready to go. I'm talking about are you ready to face God? How are we going to stand before the Lord? You see up here, where is it? The first resurrection of the saints, the translated saints, after the church of the Laodicea, the Bible says come up hither, the rapture, and then it says judgment seat of Christ. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Our brother last Sunday night, the missionary, he said those things that ought to make us ready to meet God because He's coming. We're all going to stand before the Lord, small and great, good, whether whoever we are, as a saved person. We're going to stand at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to meet God? Behold, the day cometh. And then I ask you this tonight, folks that may not be saved, I can tell you, I don't have to ask you. I can tell you without any shadow of doubt in my mind, you are not ready to meet God. Doesn't matter if you die or don't die, you're not ready to meet God. You say, well, all these things come past, and then I'll get saved. No. The Bible says He'll send strong delusion, you'll believe a lie. I've wondered many times what kind of lie the devil's going to tell when we leave this world. It's going to be so tremendous that the world will think about it and say, that's true. Well, they're going to be glad to get rid of us crazy Christians. They're going to rejoice. And I ask you tonight, how will you stand before God? If you die without God, you're going to face Him. Saved or lost, you're going to face God. If the rapture happens tonight, if it occurs tonight, pray God it does. I believe it ought to be like John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come now. That old song that says, wait a little longer, please, Jesus, that's about as unscriptural as any song ever was written. I ought to tear that out of every book you got. The Bible doesn't tell us to wait, say, wait, dear Lord, that we can get our loved ones in. No, the problem is that we don't do it now. We pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want Him to come. I'm praying for His coming. I desire that He come. I don't want to have to spend another day in this whole world. How many of you want to spend another day like this day? Or that last night or last year? How many want to go ahead and go through the same old drudgery and the same old troubles all the time? I don't want that. I don't care about hearing it. I don't care about getting involved in it. I'm ready to go home. Some golden daybreak, Jesus shall come. Let's stand tonight. I don't want any singing. Brother Ronnie, you can just, I want the musicians to come. And I want them to play this old song. I have it laid out here. Some Golden Daybreak. And I want us to think about what kind of way, what kind of thing in our life, what is it, how would we face the Lord? Here, this is the last message of this series. But folks, it's more than that. It's the last message of the Old Testament. It's more than that. It could be the last message that you'll ever hear. How will you face God? Just go ahead and play that. Some Golden Daybreak. You get it? Sorrow will cease. Some golden morning, all will be peace. Well, I'm looking for that day. I'm praying for that time. What about this afternoon? My friend, you that are saved, you that are born again, are you ready for that golden daybreak? Will you face God? And will He say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant? If not, you ought to say, dear Lord, I come and I give myself over to Thee. Well, I had a good time just thinking about some golden daybreak. What about tonight? What about sinner friend? Would you let the Lord have His way in your life tonight? Some golden daybreak. For me, for you, as they continue to play. What about it tonight? Maybe some Christians here just not serving God as you used to, or not serving God as you know you ought to. Y'all just come and say, Lord, I know You're coming. The day approaches. But until You come, I want to be found faithful in the work of God. Faithfulness, so very important. So very, very important to the child of God. So others need to come. My lost friend, would you come tonight? Some golden daybreak. That third stanza says, oh, what a meeting there in the skies. I'm looking forward to that. That great meeting that we'll have with the Lord, Jesus Christ. What about it? What a meeting. Think about that. The meeting that we'll have with, first of all, I think the most important meeting that we'll have is with our Savior, the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ that comes. He comes with healing in His wings. Oh, my. You say, how can I face that day? How can I have this sunrise? Well, I think it tells us there in verse number 2, but unto you that fear my name. The way you can have this meeting in the skies, first of all, reverence the name of God. Know who God is and reverence Him. Fear Him. That reverential fear. Then need to remember His word. Fear, reverence, then remember. Verse number 4 says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb. Y'all just stop playing just for a moment. That says there, remember the word of God that I gave to Moses. We better remember God's word. And it says there, God never says anything in His Bible just to be filling up space. He says, remember, verse number 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb. Now, I looked that up this afternoon. You know what happened in Horeb with Moses' life? First thing ever happened there, he saw the burning bush. He says, remember what happened to Moses there. The second thing that happened in Moses' life that was at Horeb was when the water came from the rock. What a blessed thought. The life-giving flow of water. Another thing that happened there was that when God gave to Moses a blood covenant in Exodus chapter number 18. Thank God we're saved by the blood. He's the water of life. He's the one that burns within us. And He's the blood covenant of salvation. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 9, there's another thing that happened in Moses' life. Was that Moses interceded for the rebellious people of Israel at Horeb. And Malachi ends his book and tells this rebellious people of Israel to remember the word of God that God delivered to Moses at Horeb. You know what he's telling them? Remember that God's real. Folks, I believe tonight we need to remember that God's real. We need to remember tonight that God's alive. He's well. He's doing fine. He's not sick. He's not on vacation. He's doing well. We better remember the word of the Lord. Y'all go ahead and play. We'll let them go through some more on that. What about it tonight? Well, I pray the message brought us right face to face with that day. I've tried my best to bring it right before us. There's a day coming. I believe we probably could sing that first stanza of that together. A lot of people know that. Let's try that first verse. Let me give you the words. It says, some glorious morning sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. That day, thank God for that day. Maybe someone here tonight just needs to get in fellowship in the house of God, honor the Lord. Maybe we're going to have baptism here in a moment. Maybe somebody just needs to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Well, it's time that we get right. It's time that we do business with God. It's time we quit playing around with the things of the world and quit worrying about what somebody thinks or what somebody says. Just do what God says. If you don't like what's being